Welcome to Let's Do It Radio Bible Study, Wednesday, April 13, 2022. I am Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Alcool Designs, your hostess, broadcasting to you worldwide every other Wednesday evening. Reverend Carolyn and Rodney McCullough of Spread the Word Ministries out of Arlington, Texas, brings Bible study, and this evening we will be fighting with a fast, taken out of Matthew 6, 16 through 18. We'll have prayer, and then we will welcome our teachers, Reverend Rodney and Carolyn McCullough. May we pray. May we pray.
Go ahead, Rodney.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of another day. We thank you, O God, for your goodness.
Thank you.
Oh, how we thank you for your grace. Lord, we do thank you for your mercy. We come into your presence acknowledging you as the only Almighty God. We come into your presence acknowledging you for being all-powerful. Lord, we come into your presence acknowledging you for being all knowledgeable, for being everywhere at the same time. And then, God, we do ask forgiveness of our sins, and we pray that you would allow all of us to be looked upon by you, O God, not anybody else, but you, as worthy in your eyesight, that we might be able to be taught your word by you, O God. So we all pray that you open us up and allow your word to fill us up, oh God. Thank you again for this video, this part, this internet podcast, this form, this platform, oh God, that you have given us to be able to share your word. And we don't take it for granted, oh God. And we pray that as your word extends as far as the east is from the west, that you would draw men, women, boys, and girls unto you. And somebody, oh God, who don't know you as a Savior, we pray in the name of Jesus that they will come and ask, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we ask that you will open us up, that we might understand fasting, that we might understand fighting with the fast, that some things we can't fight. We can only fight spiritually, oh God. Mm. And so we pray that you give us that insight. Again, we ask that you bless and always increase the numbers in all of the different shows, oh God. We pray that every need for this video broadcast will be met, oh God, every need, and that you will continue to have your way in all of our lives. Again, we thank you and we love you, and we just lift you up on this day, oh God, and it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
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 And amen, amen. Again.
All right. Reverend Lil has joined us.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Well, my prayer is that we all had a blessed day thus far, and that the peace and the presence of the Lord was upon you all this day, and you all could feel the peace and the presence of the Lord throughout this day thus far. So that's my prayer for all of us, that we weren't in a position where we didn't feel God's presence. Amen.
Well,
amen.
Amen. So let us review. We started this campaign several weeks ago, and we began by talking about the different faces of a blessing. And all of these lessons are coming from Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus taught. He taught on the backside of a mountain, and he taught for several days. And I like to say at this point, many of us, we start watching the clock after we were in church 2 hours, hour and a half. We start watching the clock, thinking that church is lasting too long. But I believe Jesus taught and preached for several days. Now, the Bible doesn't say, but you can surmise that Jesus was teaching and preaching to these disciples for a while. But we know Jesus did that, because when they ran out of food, and the little boy had just a couple of loaves or a couple of fish and a loaf of bread, Jesus had been teaching for a long time, because it got dark and they ran out of food. So it was customary for them to be in church, and I put church in quotation, it's customary for them to be in church or to hear Jesus preach for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
say that because I know folk who get who used to get kind of antsy in their pants if my sermons went a little long. And some would let you know, you know, we don't want to stay in church, but yet we want to go to heaven, and that's what we're going to be in church all day then. Once we get to heaven, what it's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
So let us begin by reviewing, and I often review by just reading. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse number one, and this is the different faces of a blessing. Seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And verse number 2 says, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God.
Mm.
Verse number 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse number 11, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Then we talked about the Christian purpose, and we looked at verses 13 through 16 in that same chapter, chapter 5. Verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light so shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And then we talked about why did Jesus come? Verses 17 through 20. Why did Jesus come? Verse 17 says in chapter 5 of Matthew, do not think that I have come to abolish the law. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them.
Mm-hmm.
But truly I say to you, until heaven and earth have passed away, not one iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it is all accomplished.
Amen.
Verse 19, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And then we move out of, not yet. And I'll get someone to read this portion for me. We talked about anger, lust, divorce, hope, and retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talked about those topics, we looked at verses 21 through 42. And anybody have their Bibles, they can read for me Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 42.
Go ahead, Reverend. You were going to do it. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Rachel, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thy fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has aught against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast into hell. Verily I say unto you, you shall by no means come out thence till you have paid the uttermost farthing. You have heard that it was said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery and her with her already in his heart. And if your right eye offend you, pluck it out and cast it from you. Mm. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. And if your right hand offend you, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her who is divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, you shall not forswear yourself, but shall perform unto the Lord your oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yes, yes, no, no. For whatsoever is more than these comes of evil. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and from him who would borrow of you, turn not you away. Thus ends the reading of the Lord's word. May it bring forth a blessing to the hearers.
Amen. Did you read through, where did you stop?
42.
Great, okay. Then we talked, so all of that that Reverend Lil read, we discussed anger. She read about anger, lust, divorce, oath, and retaliation. Then the next week, or when we gathered, we looked at when helping hurts. And Ms. Inez, if you will read verses 1 through 4 of chapter 6 and verses 5 through 13 of chapter 6, because after she reads the portion that we discussed when helping hurt, we talked about prayers that pleases God. So I want you to read both of those sections, when helping hurts and that was Matthew 6:1-4. And then prayers that pleases God is what we discussed the last time, Matthew 6:5-13. So you'll be reading verse 1 all the way through 13.
All right, thank you. All right. Number one, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. 3. But when thou dost alms, or doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Verse number 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Thank you all for sharing in the reading that I call that
Amen.
We call our review. So we are up mm-hmm. to verse number 16 tonight. And as Ms. Inez has already informed us, the topic or the title is fighting with a fast, fighting with the fast. And we are in the Lenten season as we are fastly approaching Resurrection Sunday. And many of us have engaged in a fast of some sort. And so we want to mm-hmm. read these two scriptures and discuss verse number 16 in chapter 6. If anybody came in late, we are looking at Matthew chapter 6, and we're looking at verses 16, 17, and 18 right now. Verse 16 says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, you have received your reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret.
Yes.
And your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. Lord, again we pray. We pray that you will bless us, oh God, that you would lead us, that you would guide us. Lord, I often say that we don't have a word, it's your word. So you have to give us your understanding, because we don't have an understanding until you give us your understanding. It's your word, oh God. And so I pray that you will line us up now, that we all will be able to receive, or that we all will be able to understand, that we all will be able to receive your word. Teach us. as only you can. Lead us as only you can. Guide us, oh God, as only you can. Thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Most of us
Amen.
On the line can remember September 11th, 2001. Mm-hmm. And it was about 7:46 a.m. Central Time. And there was an attack. There was an attack on the United States. We just simply today call it 9/11. 9/11. And I believe all of us on the line are old enough to remember 9/11. And President George Bush declared that the United States was under attack. President Bush vowed to seek them out. These are his words. President Bush vowed to seek them out and punish those who were responsible. He actually said, we're going to smoke them out and we're going to hunt them down. And as a result, many lives were lost. Many lives were lost and billions of dollars were spent. And I'm not real sure, y'all. I'm not real sure if as a country, we are a whole lot better off today. I'm not sure if as a country, we are a whole lot better off today than we were 9/11, September 2001.
Wow.
I want to point out to us that we are still under attack. We're still under attack.
Yes.
But the enemy is attacking families. The enemy is attacking marriages. Mm-hmm. The enemy is attacking couples. The enemy is attacking individuals. The enemy is attacking the church. Enemy is attacking the church. There's a collective and a corporate attack on the church.
Yeah.
And I'm not real sure. I'm not real sure of the real reason the U.S. was attacked on 9/11. I can speculate.
Hmm.
I'm not real sure why we were attacked, why the United States of America were attacked. And I don't really understand why we were attacked, but I do understand why God's church is under attack. I do understand why God's church is under attack. You remember the story of Job? Job was blameless, upright.
Yeah.
He feared the Lord. And the Bible said he shunned evil, Reverend Carolyn. Job had a large family, and he had many possessions. And the enemy is always looking to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. And the enemy is looking to disrupt and disturb our flow with God. The enemy is looking to break our connection with God. Lack of a better way of saying it. The enemy is looking to break our connection with God. The enemy doesn't want us to get in a place where God can use us. The enemy really don't want us to be in a place where God can use us for the upbuilding and the uplifting of his kingdom. The Lord asked Satan, where have you come from? Reverend Little Satan replied, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it.
Right.
And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job? God set limits for Satan. Didn't let Satan do anything he wanted to Job. God set limits.
Yeah.
God wanted to prove to Satan that Job wouldn't give up or give in. And I can hear God asking Satan, have you considered my servant Reverend Lil? Have you considered Ms. Inez, have you considered Reverend Drew? Have you considered Reverend Eric? Have you considered Ms. Eileen? Have you considered Reverend Rod? Have you considered any of us who might be on the line? Satan, have you considered? And I want you all to know that question could be asked.
Oh, yeah.
Just as Satan came to Job, he comes to us as well.
Yes, he does.
But God has also set limits. He set limits for Satan. God wants to see if we are, and his church, he wants to see if we are real. God wants to see if we really love him. So God will set limits for Satan upon our lives, y'all. He won't let Satan destroy us. He won't let Satan destroy us. So listen to this. We must make it through whatever we're going through. We must make it through, and we can make it through. Whatever it is we're going through, we can get through it.
Yeah.
With the help of God.
That's right.
Death even don't take us out. We must survive. We must and we will survive, just as Job did.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we're going through or whatever comes up against us with the help of the Lord. How many know that Satan is sitting in on every prayer meeting we have? Satan could be listening to us right now. Because the Bible says he was roaming to and fro. So Satan could be listening in on us right now. Every prayer meeting, every sermon you listen to, Satan could be listening to it too. Every time you pray, Satan could be listening to us pray. Every phone call, Satan could be listening.
Well, he could have some of his help listening.
Yes. Please add. Exactly. So a lot of times the plans that we are making, Satan is informed of them plans. Satan knows about the plans that we are making for the upbuilding of the kingdom. Satan knows about them. But watch this. Just because Satan knows about the plans of God, that doesn't mean Satan can stop them.
Oh, no.
Right? Just because Satan knows, you might pray, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would allow us to build this sanctuary and that you would allow this church to grow and this church to prosper. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Satan can know those very plans, but can't do anything to stop them. It's like when they used to tell me when I would be sitting playing cards, and sometimes people would look over and try to sneak a peek in your hand to see what cards you got. And then somebody would say, you can see my hand, but you can't play my hand. You can see my hand, but you can't play my hand. Satan might know the plan, but Satan can't stop the plan. And God has ordained it already. He can't stop the plan. So he can be a fly on the wall. He can be listening in on our conversation. He can know what we are asking God to do in our lives. But yet he's helpless. Satan's helpless to stop it. Satan has to be defeated. And we'll get to fasting. Satan has to be defeated. And cast it out. He has to be defeated and cast it out of God's affair. You remember there was a boy in the Bible with a demon spirit. And the boy had a demon spirit. And a man approached Jesus and he knelt down. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures. He has seizures which caused him to fall into the fire. Or into the water. He says, I brought them to your disciples. Watch this now. He says, I brought them to your disciples, but they couldn't hear him. Jesus says, bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Watch what his disciples said. What, remember what I said earlier? I brought the man says, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not hear him. Now watch what the disciples are saying. The disciples ask, why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus told them they had little faith. He also told them that some things can only be done by what?
Is it this
demon?
That
demon tells
you to be fasting and praying, ain't it?
That's it. Some things can only be done by prayer.
That's fasting and praying,
Fasting and praying.
Fasting and praying.
Praying.
That's it. That's it. So the disciples
must not have those two words. That demon? That's another very significant part of that story is that because he didn't keep it hid. He called that demon. He let us know that demons have names. And he called that demon by his name. and told the dumb and deaf spirit to come out of the boy.
So I think that's
really important for us as his disciples to know the names of these things, because they do have names. And you know, that helps us to know the enemy better. I always like to use the people in military. When they first go in, they are trained about the enemy. They trained everything about the enemy. They know the enemy probably better than they know themselves, so that they will know who the enemy is and how to get the victory over the enemy. You have already said we can building up the church. We can use the name of Jesus. Ain't that what you said?
Yeah. We can use
the name of Jesus, and the Satan can't do nothing with it. Didn't I hear you say that just a few minutes ago? Yes, ma'am. And so that's our weapon. That's how we get the victories, through Jesus. And so we know we like that man. Help our unbelief.
That's it. That is an important point. And I'm glad you lifted it up. He named that demon. He called them by name.
Yes, he did.
He did it with that other one in the tomb,
remember?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you for sharing. Are there other comments? Concern. We've been moving kind of swiftly, and we're getting down to the two verses or the three verses that we're going to engage in tonight. But are there any other comments or questions? I like the part again that I said that Satan might know the plan.
Mm-hmm.
He can't stop the plan.
Yeah, that's good.
He may know what God. Satan knows what God has for your life.
Yeah.
But if we lined up with God, he can't stop it. He
probably knows about all of us. Why? Because he goes with the sons of God to see God. He has to make a report to God every so often. That's why he was up there with the sons of God when God asked him about Job. He has to. He can't just run around not go see, check in. He's got to check in. God is God. And even Satan has to obey God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Satan too is under authority of God.
He's under authority. He's got
Satan
to, obey,
has to
God.
Obey God.
He knows what Lil is going to do, or got a mind to do, or what Rodney or Eric, any of us, all of us. He knows.
Right.
Just like he did Job. He said, have you checked in? You did a while ago, remember, Rodney? You called all Rodney. You checked in with them? But what Satan needs to realize is that when he attacks us, this is a good boy. No matter he brings towards us, no matter what calamities, heartaches, whatever, God is with us, going through it with us. That's why he asked him, have you tried my servant Job? He already knew Job was going to get the victory. He already knew he was not going to curse him, because he himself was going to be there to help Job. What parent don't want to see their children win? Tell me.
Right.
What parent does not want to see their children win at whatever they're trying to get, whatever game football, baseball, tennis, basketball, whatever it is. They want their children to win.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We're God's children.
Amen.
That's so true.
Amen.
Amen.
So since we're here, before we move, let's look at this from both sides. What would cause Satan to be able to interfere in the plans God has for our lives? Is there anything that we could do that will allow Satan to interfere or even circumvent the plan that God has for our lives? I'm throwing that out there for discussion. Is there anything, is there any kind of lifestyle we could be living that will cause God's plan to be circumvented or dismissed by Satan in our lives? Because we already say Satan can hear God's plans for our lives and can't do nothing about it. But I'm asking, is there any situation where maybe something in our lives might cause Satan to be able to block God's blessing from our lives?
If we give in to him.
If we give in to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the line.
That's the only way.
That's the line I wanted to try to go down in so many words.
Mm-hmm.
If we give in to him.
Mm-hmm.
Say more. Say
That's
more,
the
God.
Only way
say
he'll
more.
Give in. Mm-hmm.
Well, if we allow the flesh to take control of us and allow our flesh to lead us instead of following after the Lord and letting the Lord lead us by the Holy Spirit, but if we change it and allow our fleshly members to take over, then, yeah, Satan has a chance to step in. Satan has a chance to do whatever he wants to try to do.
That's
you know,
good, y'all.
Because we're opening the door to allow him in.
Mm-hmm.
Once we open that door, then we have a Pandora's box. He can try to do anything he wants to do. He'll keep trying on and on.
My Lord.
And we can't serve two masters. We can only serve the one master. We can't, you know, be straddling the fence.
Yeah.
We either have to serve one or the other. So
that's right.
That's another thing as well.
That's right. So y'all, that's what I wanted to reflect on. That's what I wanted to look at. So if Satan knows, Satan can play a part if we allow that door to be open. If we give in to Satan. And I think some other things.
Give in to that
well.
Temptation. That's right.
Yeah. That's good. So we ought to always be in a position where we keep that door closed, Reverend Eric. We keep that door locked. Because if we crack that door,
Amen.
The door gets cracked. I grew up around hogs. And if a hog get his nose and head in something, a hog gonna get out. I don't care how good you think you got the fence or how good you think you got the hog pain built. If they can root in there and get their nose and their head in, they busting out. They bust all they need. All they need is an inch. And that's all Satan needs.
That's it.
As well. Just a little leader.
Okay.
Just a little leader.
Excuse me. If we have that background noise, can the person who has the background noise please mute their line until they're ready to speak? Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. And we are under spiritual attack. Ephesians 6 and 10. We wrestle, we struggle, we fight not against flesh and blood,
but
against the rulers, against the authority, against the power of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Against rulers, the authorities, the power of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. This fight is spiritual, y'all.
Yes.
This fight is spiritual. I'm reminded of the president. We can't smoke them out and hunt them down because this is a spiritual fight.
Mm-hmm.
We must fight a spiritual fight how? With spiritual weapons. And one of the ways we fight, one of the ways we can fight with the fast. We can fight with the fast. Because Jesus said, sometimes things only happen through prayer and fasting. Sometimes. Master, why couldn't we do what you just did? Let me tell you why y'all couldn't do what I just did. Because sometimes it takes prayer. It takes prayer, and it takes fasting. Fasting is when we do a food fast. Fasting, a food fast, is when we abstain from food for the purpose of winning a spiritual battle. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you abstain from food, you are fasting for the purpose. You are fasting from something physical. You are fasting from food. If you do a food fast, because you can fast for different things, from different things. This text is talking about fasting from food. When we fast from food, we are fighting. We are fasting for the purpose of winning. A spiritual battle. Faith needs prayer for its development and full growth. Let me say that again. Faith needs prayer for its development and full growth. Prayer needs fasting for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer needs fasting for the same reason. Fasting does wonder when used in combination with prayer and faith. Let me say that right. In other words, we got to use fasting and prayer as a team. Sometimes we got to use it together as a team, as a tandem.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, some of the things we come up against, prayer might not get it. And the Bible is stating that, right? Because we often say, well, just pray about it.
Well, that's because fasting, why do we have to fast, Reverend Rodney?
Why do we have to fast?
What purpose does it serve?
I know one of the reasons we got to fast, as I just stated, so that it's spiritual, so that we can win, so that we can win a spiritual battle, so that we can,
Could it also have something to do with us growing closer to the Lord? See, I think that would, in my mind, would be a necessity, is to be growing closer to the Lord. We fast and feed on His Word, and to grow closer, because we know we got these spiritual battles we're gonna be having to fight.
That's true. Yeah.
And I got my hand raised. Uh-oh. I got my hand raised. Sorry. I was basically going to ask the same thing. Is it because so that we can work with a clean slate as well, so we don't have all these things and stuff in us that are, what do you want to say, tarnish us or make us, so that it's a cleansing, I guess you want to say. So question is, do you fast and cleanse everything out and then pray, or do you fast and pray at the same time? Because some people, I know when you go on a diet, you cleanse out everything so you can start your diet, so you can start with a clean slate. Is that what you do when you fast and pray? Because they always say fast and pray. They don't ever say pray and fast. Is that not
you
true?
Need
you
to
understand
do
what
it all together?
It all goes together.
Because you're going to need the strength that you get from
mm-hmm.
the word through prayer to
mm-hmm.
help you
mm-hmm.
to be successful as you fast.
Yes.
So it's something that you will be doing all together.
Yeah.
I understand it, but I didn't know if people who were listening understood that. That's what I was asking.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I was asking
mm-hmm.
as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
Good question. Reverend Eric, did you have something? Thank you, Reverend Carol. Reverend Eric, did you have something, or I heard you were trying, I heard the beginning
that fasting and praying, it is from the experiences I've indulged in. Fasting and praying, if you take it to a level where you invite God into your fasting and praying and allow
mm-hmm.
Him to lead you through the scriptures at that time, and take ample time in your fasting with God from everything, then you draw closer to God. And once you draw closer, the Holy Spirit leads you into different areas that God wants you to go into and bring things more clearly and more relevant to you in a way that you can understand it and give you a foundation with God closer. That's what happens when you go and fast and pray and spend the time with the Lord. You don't fast and pray for a few hours and go do what you normally do. You fast and pray and you spend the time with the Lord until he gives you what you stand in need of.
Mm-hmm.
He strengthens you. He builds you up in every fashion. When you take that time and you talk with him, you're basically spending time with the Lord when you fasting and praying. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be praying. You're not just supposed to be asking for something. You're supposed to spend time with the Lord himself. And you're supposed to expect to know who you're talking with. That's what that fasting and praying is about. They were not close like that in the scriptures because they were with the Lord and they were not spending time with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord was spending time with the Father. He would go off by himself and spend time with the Father. The disciples spent time with Jesus.
Yeah.
All they spirit came from Jesus. That part that they actually got was with Jesus. They didn't spend time with the Father, per se. They spent time with the physical man. They had to get to know him. But Jesus spent time with the Father, who he knew, and he went from time to time back and forth with him.
Yeah,
yeah, he did.
That's why he could tell them that it only comes out through fasting and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you have to grow and get strength. You get that strength from the Lord and gives you that ability to call out things. You can't call out nothing if you don't have the strength from the Lord himself.
All right. All right. Well, that's why he was able to call out the demons and heal up the sick. Now, that because he was fasting and praying and spending that time with the Lord, with the Father.
You spend time with the Father.
Yeah, and that's what we are supposed to do, is not just sit down and say a prayer and read a scripture, but we are supposed to read, pray, and spend time. Listen. Sit before him and listen. See what he's got to say. Draw from him what we need. Is that what
saying?
Is that what y'all telling me?
That's
good.
Basically. That's what you're saying. Amen.
That's good.
And you know, Jesus, as we often say, Jesus is fully human and fully divine.
Yeah.
And so the human part of Jesus knew, you know, because I think when Jesus was speaking to the disciples saying, the reason y'all couldn't do it because some things only come by praying and fasting. Jesus was speaking from the human side. He knew that something from the human side of Jesus, from him, Jesus knew it. Now, some things only come by praying and fasting. I'm fully divine as well. I can just speak a word. I don't have to pray and fast. But I want to be an example. I want to show y'all an example. I want to show y'all that some things only come by prayer and by fasting. And I want you all to learn how to pray and how to fast.
Yeah.
Because, again, as you all have so clearly stated, fasting draws us, it should draw us closer.
I think it helps that unbelief thing that we find ourselves, like that man when Jesus asked him, do you believe? And he said, yes, Lord, but help my unbelief. And you had already read where Jesus had got on them about having a little faith. So Don't you think prayer and the fasting and sitting before the Lord it will strengthen us in the belief area also. I may not be using bad language here, it's all crisscross, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. It improves our unbelief for, you know, we are like doubting Thomas in some things. But when we are fasting and praying and sitting before the Lord, as it has been explained, then that strengthens us and it increases our faith, I believe.
Amen. I believe so, too.
Mm-hmm.
I believe so, too. So remember what we're talking about, fighting with a fast. And I believe that if we fight with the fast and stop fighting with our mouths, stop fighting with our words, stop fighting on our own strength, and fight a lot of our battles, if we fight with the fast, we'll win more of our battles. Because what we're actually doing, y'all, when we fight with a fast, is we're turning it over to the Lord. In so many words, when we fight a battle with a fast, we are turning that situation over to the Lord. And as the song said this morning, we can tell our friends that God has won again. When we turn it over to the Lord, when we fight with a fast, we can call up all our friends and tell us whatever it is we were going through, God has won again. God has fought it for us, and God has won again. And if God has won in a situation on our behalf, then we have won as well. We have won as well. So fasting is spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. Fasting does wonders when used in combination with prayer and faith. Let me say that again. Fasting does wonders when used in combination with prayer and faith. Just imagine if you are praying and fasting and you got faith. And you got faith that whatever you are praying and fasting about, that God is going to sell it. That's a wonderful combination. Fasting, praying, and having faith. Here's the component that makes fasting spiritual and ties it all together, I believe. Here's the component that makes fasting spiritual and ties it all together. You remember the fall of man and woman in the garden? That fall was caused by food. Some kind of fruit, right?
Apple.
When man and women fell in the garden, they could not resist food, some kind of food. She couldn't resist it. And after she ate, she gave her husband to eat. So I believe the fact that God has called us to fast, and the very thing that fasting asks us to do is to resist food. Y'all see where I'm going with that? The very thing that a fast causes us to do is turn down food. Turn down the very thing that caused the very first sin to enter into the world. Y'all see how that ties together?
I have to go a little bit further with that because I don't know if it was the food that caused it, but it was what the food was supposed to do for them. It was supposed to open their eyes. They were supposed to be little gods. God already knew that they would be little gods. They wasn't going to die. It was the deception of what Satan did to them. But they ate the food, not because they thought it was going to fill them up, but they ate it because it was supposed to do a particular thing for them.
That's right. That's right. Don't miss my point, because your point is clearly taken. But don't miss my point.
No, I haven't missed it, but I'm trying to add that with it.
Yes, that's good. That's good. But I want to make sure we catch this. The thing that caused that ball to start rolling was because they couldn't resist eating something. They had a particular reason for wanting to eat it. But even before you get to that, I'm glad you took it there, they couldn't resist from eating it. So God is saying, if you all can fast, if you all can resist food, if you can resist the very thing that caused sin to come into the world, and we know they wanted to eat it because they wanted to become like God, they wanted to become wiser, but they couldn't even resist eating it. And God is saying to us, if we can abstain from food, if we can abstain from the very thing that caused sin to enter in. If we can fast from food, then we can get a lot of things accomplished spiritually. Because it goes right back to the beginning. Right back to the beginning. And I had not thought of that at first. But that's the common denominator.
Yeah.
Something to eat. Something to eat is the common denominator. Something to eat is the common thing that Adam and Eve had a problem with. And God is saying, listen, if you want to really fast and draw closer to me, as Reverend Lillard other said, then fast. If you want to really, if you really want to get this demon out of your life, if you really want to fix this, get this situation in your life resolved, then some things only come by fasting and praying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I clearly hear the Lord saying that. I clearly hear the Lord saying that to us tonight. Look back at the garden. Mm-hmm. Look at the situation in the garden. See what they couldn't resist. Because I'm telling you all, food is a big thing in a lot of people's lives. Yeah, there are a lot of people who are alcoholics.
Everything else.
There are a lot of people who are addicted to drugs. There are a lot of people who are addicted to sex. There are a lot of people who are addicted to a whole lot of things. But when you line everybody up, the people that's addicted to food, that line is going to be longer than any other line of any other addiction.
Mm.
I'll bet you that. There are so many people with food issues in the world. And I believe it because it was food that started to send us to the ignite in the first place. They could not, they could not resist eating it. Yes, they wanted to eat it for a particular reason, but they couldn't they couldn't resist eating it. Psalms 35 and 13 talks about, I must put on sackcloth and humble myself with fasting. Psalms 35 and 13, I must put on sackcloth and humble myself with fasting. Fasting humbles our soul before God. Can I say that again? Fasting humbles our soul before God. If we are to survive, we must be humble. What does Matthew 4, 1 through 11 says? If someone will sign that. Matthew 4, you shouldn't have to
Matthew
turn
Matthew 4.
Turn back. Matthew 4, 1 through 11.
Then when Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. 6, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus saith unto him, it is written again, that thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. 10, and he said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, with him only shalt thou serve. 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
Amen.
Amen.
Would you all say that Jesus was victorious?
Yes.
This situation in the wilderness, Jesus won, right? Jesus was victorious.
Oh, yes.
The enemy didn't win. The devil didn't win.
Nope.
And what did it say in the beginning? Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it says Jesus was led up into the wilderness. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And it says, and after fasting, 40 days and 40 nights. See, what a fast does, a fast prepares us a lot of times, y'all, for what's ahead. You might be fasting.
Mm-hmm.
You might be fasting right now this week or whatever, and you might be fasting in preparation for something that's going to come up in your life later. Y'all believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
You might be fast. Your fast today may not be for what you're going through right now. Your fast today could be what you're going to go through next month, next year. That will give you, fasting today can give you strength for something that can come up in your life later.
Yeah.
I don't believe I know Jesus wouldn't have gotten through this. Jesus got through this because, see, Jesus was experiencing this through not the divine Jesus, but through the physical Jesus, right? This was the human Jesus. He was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
This was the human Jesus that was experiencing this 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. And this was the human Jesus that the devil came up against to tempt.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was prepared because Jesus had fasted. And I'm here to tell you all this afternoon, tonight, that when we fast, it can help us in the future be strong. It can help us get through situations that the devil will throw up against us in the future. And help us to be victorious because of the fast we've already done. It prepares us, in other words, for what the enemy can and will throw up against us. Again, fasting humbles our soul before God.
Mm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, verse number 16. When you fast, and this is working out just right, when you fast. Fasting is not an option according to this scripture. It don't say if you fast, if you feel like fasting, if you want to fast. It says when you do it. When you fast. So to me, fasting is really not an option for Christians. At some point in our lives, we need to be fasting because there are going to be some things that's going to come up against us that we're not going to be able to get out of unless we fast and pray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're just praying that if we have a life that is void of fasting, then that's the answer right there to why we're still in some things that we can't get out of. If we have a life that's void of fasting and all we do is pray, we pray all the time, but we don't fast, then there's going to be some situations in our lives that we're going to stay tied up and tangled up in because the word clearly says some things y'all can't get out of. Some things we can't get out of until we pray and fast. So that has to be a segment. That has to be a part of our lives as Christians. When you pray, just as prayer is not an option, fasting shouldn't be an option as well. You must not be like the hypocrite. We don't publicize the fact that we are fasting, y'all.
If someone see you
not eating, you know, at work or wherever you might be, you don't have to flaunt it in their faces. Oh, I'm fasting. I'm fasting. We don't have to do that because it says, and when you fast, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue, which we already studied, and at the street corners that they, I'm reading the wrong thing. And when you, verse 16, and when you fast, do not look gloomy. I went back to verse number 15 or something. I went over to the prayer part. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that fasting may be seen by others. Folks don't have to know that you're fasting. Don't disfigure your face. In other words, don't look hungry. You can be hungry, don't look hungry. Y'all know that?
Right.
Amen.
You can be hungry, don't look hungry. Now, I'm waiting for somebody to say it. When you're fasting, the Lord sometimes has a way of keeping you from really being hungry in the kind of hungry that we know about.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Correct.
If we're truly serious about fasting, the Lord can keep us from having that hunger that we know about as hungry. He can keep us. He can keep us from feeling hungry, looking hungry. He can sustain us.
Acting hungry.
See that? In the text says, don't look gloomy. Don't look gloomy like a hypocrite. Don't disfigure your faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Nobody has to know that we are fasting when we are fasting. My daddy used to tell me all of the time, boy, you don't have to have a quarter in your pocket. Ain't nobody got to know you, bro. You don't have to look, bro. You don't have to act, bro. Ain't nobody got to know. Ain't nobody know what's in your pocket. Nobody know what's in your pocket.
Besides your hand.
And so people, that's right.
Sorry.
And so people don't have to know what's in your pocket.
Because then another thing, if you're fasting and then you fail, or, you know, not hoping that you do fail, then the people are going to come and say, I know you couldn't do it. I know you couldn't handle it. But as long as they don't know what's your business, they don't have to know your business, so you can do what you need to do and ask God to help you through.
That's the key. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. See, the Pharisees used to fast twice a week. The Pharisees fast twice a week for sure. They prayed standing in the center. They prayed standing on the street corners. They prayed standing in the synagogue. They used to fast for show, so people could look and see them fasting. And this rite appears to be big on the word hypocrite. Folks don't have to know we're fasting by how we look on the outside. Don't go around looking sad. Say, oh, I'm hungry. Even if you are, that's when we need to pray. You don't get no points.
That's right.
You don't get no points from God when we publicize the fact that we're fast. Or we fast for sure.
Amen.
You get no points from God. Somebody have a comment?
Reverend Rodney.
Go ahead, sir.
You seen where Moses went up on the mountain and he talked with the Lord, and he stayed with God there 40 days. And the people said, we don't know what happened to him. They started doing their thing. They decided to get away from the very God that just brought them out of Egypt. But Moses stayed up there. It didn't say Moses was eating, drinking, and having a good time. It didn't say none of that. He didn't need food because God sustained him.
He supplied everything.
So in the presence of the Lord, God Almighty,
amen.
You're not, the fast is, you're able to multiply the fast. You're able to be sustained in such a way that you're not looking for food. The spiritual food is more important than the physical food that you eat. And once you experience a fast for more than 2 days, 3 days, you will find that your senses are enlightened. They're more sensitive. You smell. You can smell things that ain't even open. You can smell things that ain't even open, that is not even in the same room with you. You can smell it. And you can feel the presence of the Lord more as the further you go out on a fast, the further you go out there with the fast, and the time that you actually spend with the Lord, if you, somebody that had time to spend with the Lord, then you would find that God will enhance all that you are just by fasting and praying. You'll find some things that most people don't encounter on a regular basis, and they've been Christians for a long time, and they've been serving the Lord faithfully. But when you fast and you spend time with God, you find yourself being able to understand more and being able to indulge in the word in such a way that it pulls things out of you that's in you. It's not like him. So
I like that word.
The fast is helpful.
Yeah.
It's helpful. The fasting is helpful.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. I like the word enhance. Fasting will enhance.
Yes.
It will enhance. It will enhance everything in our lives that has to do with God. Fasting will add to it. And I just believe, y'all, that that's an area. I don't know for a fact, but I believe that's an area that a lot of Christians might be a little lackadaisical in. I believe that we have the prayer thing down.
Mm-hmm.
We pray every morning. People got real, mm-hmm. real good personal and private prayer lives. But I just believe in my spirit that when it comes to fasting on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
might do it for Lent, might do it for when the bishop calls us to do it, but on a regular basis, I believe that's an area that we may need to improve in. And I'm talking about Christians as a whole. Fasting needs to be, you know, people, I've heard it said that, well, you got to be led into a fast. I believe that could be true. That you can't just up and do a fast because you want a fast, that the Lord or the Spirit has to lead you into a fast. But I believe that the Spirit will lead you into a fast if you're praying and asking, because we've cleared up something tonight, that some things only come by prayer and fasting. And if some things mm-hmm. only gonna come by prayer and fasting, then that clearly tells us that we need to be doing what? Praying and
fasting.
More often.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's what I see. That's what I hear the scripture clearly saying.
Mm-hmm.
And we've read this text before. But as we're getting in it tonight, I'm clearly hearing it saying to me, I don't know but to nobody else, but to me, well, maybe you need mm-hmm. to pray and ask God to develop a more consistent prayer mm-hmm. and fasting in your life. And maybe if you pray and ask God to develop a more consistent prayer and fasting life for yourself, then the mm-hmm. things that didn't come just by prayer, now you can be able to deal with them because you're praying and fasting, as the scriptures say.
Hmm.
So that's something personally I need to take on more, better fasting and tie it up with prayer. Verse number 17, but when you fast, look good. Anoint your head. Look good. Wash your face. But when you fast, mm-hmm. look good. Mm-hmm. Don't look bad. Don't look gloomy. Anoint your head and
mm-hmm.
wash your face.
Mm-hmm.
Verse number 18, mm-hmm. that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And just as was said earlier in the text, even when we were talking about prayer, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you how? Openly.
Hmm.
Openly. Will reward you openly. When we fast, we need to fix up ourselves, fix up our countenance, fix up ourselves. Our fast is not for men and women, but it's for God. You're not fasting for people.
Hmm.
You're fasting for God. God knows when we have engaged in a sincere fast. God knows, y'all, when we have engaged in a sincere fast, and God will reward us.
Amen.
That's what makes a fast effective. That's what makes a fast effective. I got this text, this scripture written down. I'm not sure what it is. Somebody find Isaiah 53:3-6. Isaiah 58:3-6. You gonna tell us for the fast? I got it written down, but I can't remember what it says. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 58:3-6.
Okay. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you shall find pleasure, and exact all your labors. For, behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. 5. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? You want to go to 6, right?
Amen. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard or high. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. It is such the fast that I choose. This is verse 5. It's the fast that I choose. It's such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself. It is to bow down his head like a reed and spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I chose, to loose the bonds of the wickedness and to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Remember, and that's all I have for this section. Remember what we discussed. Fighting with the fast.
Hmm.
If we take on the spirit, if we take on the attitude that a lot of things that are coming up in our lives, if we stand and says, I'm going to fight this with the fast, then I believe, as the disciples asked, why couldn't we do it? I believe we'll find ourselves being able to be victorious in a lot of areas in our lives and in the lives of our family members and in the lives of people inside our circle and outside our circle. If we start fighting with the fast, we will be victorious in a lot of areas that we have not been victorious in, because we will be lining up with the word where it says some things only come by prayer and by fasting.
And fasting.
That's all I have. Any more comments, questions, or concerns? I'm not going to get into next week. Or the next time we meet, we're going to be talking about what is my treasure. And we will be looking at the verses we're talking about.
19-21.
Yeah.
19-21. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we won't start because we probably won't be able to get finished. But when we meet again, 19 through 21. Lay up treasures in heaven. That's how it's entitled in my, and so we'll probably go all the way down through 24, because that's what's blocked off in my Bible, where it says lay up treasures in heaven. So we'll talk about what is my treasure. What is my treasure?
Okay.
Lay up treasures in heaven.
So
that's it for tonight.
What is my treasure, or what is your treasure?
What is my treasure?
So my treasure. Okay.
And the my is and the my is my, but when you say it, it's you. Whoever's saying what is my treasure.
Okay.
What is my treasure?
Okay.
And we look at all those verses 19 through 20, 24, when we meet again.
Okay.
So remember what we discussed tonight, and you all have done an excellent job in helping this lesson tonight become even clearer.
Yeah,
you all have helped me. Amen.
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 Mm-hmm.
I have preached and taught this many, many years ago, like back in 2007. Mm-hmm. And even tonight, some things you all have helped bring some things out there that have helped clarify some things even for me. So to God be the glory. Fighting with the fast.
Amen.
Remember, fight with the fast. Put our fists up, put these knives up, put these guns up, and most importantly, let's put these words up. Let's put these words that we beat people up with and fight them with a fast. That means turn it over to the Lord. Let the Lord win for us.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let me say a quick prayer. Father, we thank you for this lesson. And I thank you for blessing us, oh God, to be able to open your word and to share your word with each other. Thank you, God, for revealing some things to us, and thank you for leading, guiding us. But we thank you, oh God, for allowing us to see from this moment on that some things do, again, only come by prayer and fasting. Help us to develop a consistent prayer and fasting life, because when these things are used in tandem, when they're used in combination, when they're used together, your word clearly says tonight that that's why something didn't happen for the disciples. It only happened through prayer and fasting. So that we might be victorious in all areas of our lives, and that we might help others to be victorious in areas in their lives as well. Help us to develop a consistent prayer and fasting life. Thank you again for showing us tonight that we do need to fight with a fast, and that is the only way to fight some battles, and that is the only way to win some battles. If we fight with the fast, I pray and fast as we cast them on you.
Amen.
Again, we thank you for this broadcast. Mm-hmm. We thank you for all who are present. And we thank you, oh God, for you, Ms. Inez, and we continue to pray her health and her strength. And
yes.
We pray, God, that even as she works many times when we don't know anything about it, because she's on when we're not on. She's on with other people. She's on doing things for broadcasting for herself. So I pray, God, that you give her strength and continue to bless her, bless her family. We lift up Spread the Word Ministry. We pray for Reverend Carolyn. And ask, God, that your continual blessings will be upon her. I pray, God, that you give her the desires of her heart, that she might be even more of a bigger blessing to the kingdom. God, I pray for the Monday service tomorrow. I lift up the Good Friday services. And I pray for those who will be gathering on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Sunday, that you allow all of us to be blessed beyond our imagination. And that as you bless us, we'll bless you back. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Call to discipleship.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'll do that.
Please do.
Amen. I'd like to say thank you, everybody, for leading us in this study tonight. And I believe we all are much better because of it tonight.
Yeah.
So all we need to do is apply it to our daily lives, and we will see God's blessings even all the more.
Amen.
At this time, if you have never made a decision to allow Jesus Christ to become your Lord and your Savior, we want to give you that opportunity to do so now. Time is winding up and or down, however you choose to look at it. You know it's winding. And because it's winding, you need to get ready to be received into the kingdom. And the only way to be received into the kingdom is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you are on the line tonight and you would like to make Jesus your choice tonight, we give you that opportunity to do so now.
Thank you, Lord. Draw by your spirit.
We don't all have to speak at once. Just unmute yourself and say that I would like to give myself to Christ.
Draw by your spirit.
Amen.
Hearing one, I'm going to pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we bless you. We thank you for the opportunity to have the invitation, and we pray, O Lord, that as we extend you to others, that somebody will step out one day and say, I want to be saved. So we thank you, O God, for this opportunity, and we're believing that because none have answered the call, that maybe all are already saved. And for that, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And if there is one who did not answer the call but would like to do it, all they have to do is come to you and confess that they are a sinner, mm-hmm. and that they want you to come and live in their heart and in their lives and to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And that can be done at any time with without a preacher. And so we just ask now, in the name of Jesus, that as people are making decisions for you, that you will guide them, direct them, and be with them. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody like to have any last words?
Go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead.
I was just getting ready to say, if you made Jesus your choice, then please let us know in the chat and or on the website, and we will be happy to make contact with you so that we can walk this journey with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen again. Announcements for the evening. As Reverend was saying, tomorrow is Monday, Thursday, April the 14th, and that's an online Zoom worship at 7:30 Central Time. And I've been putting the word out, putting it out, I put it out on Instagram, and I'll also send it out again on Facebook, and as well as, let's see, my LinkedIn, for y'all to join in tomorrow. The Zoom call, Zoom worship, I was going to try and put it on Let's do a radio, but I have to work tomorrow, so I won't be able to do it tomorrow. So then Sunday we have Easter Sunday, April the 17th, with Reverend Carolyn Williamson out of Yakima, Washington. So join us as we say Resurrection Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. And if you want to listen to this Bible study episode or any of the episodes on demand, please go to the homepage of Do It All in the Mall and scroll down on the right-hand side and click on the radio icon, and you can peruse any of the shows since day one. I did do that research, and they're out there until I take them off. So any Sunday service, Wednesday service, anything that we've had, any segment we have, it's out there for your perusal, so please do that. Also on Tuesday, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. I don't know what I'm going to talk about yet, because we come up with all kind of crazy things by the time the session is done. We started out with COVID, then we started talking about AI. We started talking about some of everything. So we just talked basically on Tuesday night. So it's kind of cool, kind of different. We have different variety of people that come on with knowledge, not me. I just say, And that's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. So we just appreciate each and every one of you joining us this evening. We had a few callers that called in. Miss Eileen called, and a couple other people that, but they didn't stay, so but that's okay. And say, for instance, you do want to join the church or want to be saved, and you don't know how to go about it, send us an email at letsdoitradio@gmail.com, and I will forward it on to Reverend McCullough, Rodney and Carolyn, and they can contact you. And so you may have a topic you'd like to discuss. Go ahead and hit me up. We do have a new group of ladies that's going to be calling in on Thursdays. It's called A View to the Kingdom, and they're going to be talking basically about being a woman, being a real woman. So that's coming up this next Thursday, the 21st. So that will be coming up. So look out for that. So if as I would say, if all minds are clear, please mm-hmm. bow your head as I say this prayer. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. Please be blessed and stay blessed until we meet again tomorrow night and on Resurrection Sunday. Thank you, thank you, thank you to the worldwide Let's Spirit Radio listening audience. Have a wonderful evening. And as we always do, I try to do it all in the mall prayer. And then we will sign off. So thank you again. If you have any questions, like I said, go to letsdoitradio@gmail.com and drop us an email on how you felt today, when, how you feel any of the segments go, if you want to do a topic. But thank you, thank you, thank you to each and every one of you. As we are growing worldwide, I mean, just crazily. I mean, we're in some of all the continents. I mean, Africa, mm-hmm. even some in Russia, into China, we're in this, where else? Angolia, Nairobi, I mean, just everywhere, Brazil, North, you know, so, you know, don't stop, you know, reaching out to us and listening to us either via blog, computer, however you listen to us. Don't forget to share. Don't forget to share. And that's the one thing that you can do is share. Give out something free. I say give a smile. It doesn't cost anything, but when you see someone else smile back, they will appreciate so much, and their face will also brighten up. So thank you again, Reverend Carolyn and Rodney McCullough from Spread the Word Ministry out of Arlington, Texas. And if you're in that area, please look them up and join their service. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to understand and strengthen us to provide for ourselves and our communities by working together. It takes each and every one of us to come together as the kings and queens that we are and have always been. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Good night.
Bless.
Stay blessed. Mm-hmm.
All right. Be blessed as well.
Amen.
Okay.